Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for a midweek Bible study right here on our website. Let's Talk About Jesus is the name of our Bible study. We study all of the Bible, Old and New Testament. We study many, many different subjects from the Scripture, but it's all about Jesus. There was a tribe in Africa that was asked the question, what have you learned? What have you learned from the Bible? And they said, and they had a very good missionary teacher that had taught them about Christ as the centerpiece of the good news, and the Old Testament as promises of a deliverer and Savior and Messiah to come, and the New Testament as the fulfillment of all of those promises. Promises made in the Old Covenant, promises kept in the New Covenant. So they explained it this way. They said, "Oh, you mean the Jesus book? Open it just about anywhere, and you'll find something about Him. And if you open it to Genesis chapter 1, you will find out the drama and the scenario taking place in the garden, and the fall of man, and God's plan to redeem fallen man from his fallen nature and his fallen consequence." He talked about a seed of the woman who would bruise the serpent's head. The serpent would certainly bruise his heel, and that occurred at the cross. But at the resurrection of Jesus, as a result of the cross, the devil's head was bruised, and the Bible spoke of him that had the power to destroy death, hallelujah, and bring life and immortality to light. Praise God. It starts with a scarlet cord, the blood of Jesus shed. It runs from Genesis. It runs all the way through the book of Revelation. Praise God. Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus, Lord of all. That's the title of our teaching. Someone has said if He isn't Lord of everything, He isn't Lord at all. I agree with that. It's true, but it's not just about our relationship to Him, whether or not we're going to allow Him or accept Him as our Master, as our King, and bow to Him and no other. And that should be absolutely true, but it's not just about our relationship to Him or with Him, but it's our revelation of Him that we're talking about here. Our understanding of who He is and how we should react to who He is should be our confession of faith. The Bible says we're to hold fast our profession of faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. But when we confess Jesus as Lord, it is based upon more than just a confession of faith in His faithfulness concerning our forgiveness and our salvation. When we confess who Jesus is, that He is Lord, we are confessing, amen, that He is very God, one with the Father. Yes, He's the second person of the triune God, but He certainly is one with the Father. "I and my Father are one," He said. He was God incarnate, God in flesh. See, that's what it means. The Bible says in 1 John that greater is He that is in you and I as a Christian, a true Christian. Greater is He that's in us than he that is in the world. And it's talking about knowing when the spirit of Antichrist manifests itself, and this true spirit of Jesus Christ within us. It's knowing the difference. It's knowing the truth about Jesus. Praise God. It says, "Every spirit, we have an unction from the Holy One and knoweth all things." That is the context. All of these important things that we know by the Word of God, by the revelation of the Word of God and the revelation of the Spirit of God and the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, the spirit of Christ and Antichrist. Every spirit that does not confess that Christ has come in the flesh. Well, we know that Jesus, born of a virgin, he laid in a manger, he became flesh. But Christ becoming flesh means that God has become incarnate. He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a great teacher or a healer or a preacher. He was God, very God, incarnate in flesh. And every spirit that doesn't confess that is anti-Christ. It's denying who he really is. And every true child of God knows this by the Holy Spirit. We call him Lord by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And then we make him Lord by the realization, amen, that he is our King, he is our Master, and we bow to him and to none other. Praise God. Because, Lord, let me read this. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. You probably have heard this many times. I certainly have preached it many times. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, you see, one with the Father, but made himself no reputation, took on himself the form of a servant. That's how he humbled himself, and was made in the likeness of men, God incarnate in flesh. You see, and being found, verse 8, in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. First, he humbled himself to condescend to come down and lay in a manger, seemingly helpless, dependent on a carpenter, a blue-collar worker, and a teenage girl to keep him safe and keep him warm and keep him fed until he grew to manhood. And became obedient, and then he became obedient to his mission, obedient to the death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, down in the netherworld. Listen, and every tongue, in verse 11, should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Once again, confessing that he, Jesus, is Lord, is confessing that he's very God, one with the Father, God incarnate, God in flesh. And because Lord here is Adonai, it's the same Lord used for God himself in the Old Testament. Praise God. God has given him his very name because he's one with the Father. Amen. He has absolute authority as creator and sovereign ruler. The Bible said there was nothing made that Christ did not make. You see, he's working in complete harmony and unity with the Father. That's why in Genesis 1 it says, or Genesis, the beginning of all creation, let us, after creating everything else, let us, who? Let us, amen, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God working in concert. Let us create man in our own image. Listen, when Paul, Hebrew of Hebrews, as he called himself, says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow on heaven, earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's echoing the prophet Isaiah, amen, in the old covenant, who said, I am God. I am God of all the earth, and there is none beside me. Amazingly, the specific text, one of the Old Testament passages that most strongly emphasizes the sole authority of God. Isaiah's words are these, I am, I am, I am the Lord, Adonai, and there is none else. There's no other God beside me, a righteous God and a Savior. There's none except me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. Listen carefully, and there is no other. Listen, the God that we're serving as Christians is not a God among many. He is the God, the living and true God. And listen to what James says about that. Listen, thou sayest there's one God, and we do, and we should, and we better if we want to know the true and living God. The devils believe this. The devils believe this, and they tremble. But you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead, being alone. We got to act on that knowledge by faith. Amen. By bowing to Him and Him alone. Praise God. Jesus said that there is one God. Here we are again. One God and one mediator, or the scripture says, of Christ. There is one God and one mediator, speaking of Jesus, between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus said of Himself, I am the way, not a way. I am the truth, not a truth. And I am the life, not a life. Praise God, because Jesus rose from the dead, because God raised up Jesus from the dead, we can have the certain hope of the resurrection as children of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn to me and be saved, God says. Look unto me, Jesus says. Come unto me. Hallelujah. He invites us to come to Him as a Savior, because Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue will confess this. Every unbeliever, every agnostic, every demon in hell. Listen, but Christians bow here and now and confess, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Praise God. Listen, friend. In order to meet what's called, let me just back up. I want to read this. Here in the earliest Christian creed, Paul is applying to this Christian creed in the New Testament. I am God, and there is no other. I've sworn by myself that to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance. You still hear this read in the Friday night services in synagogues and here in the earliest Christian creed. Amen. The Apostle Paul, ex-rabbi, is applying this to Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, friend of mine, in order to, listen, according to the premier historian of religions, what goes by the name of religion in the modern world is, to a great extent, someone has said, listen, unbridled human self-assertion in religious disguise. We had a me movement in our culture not many years ago, and we're seeing the consequences of the culture adapting. It's all about me. And we're seeing the selfishness, self-exaltation, self-assertion, self-confidence, self-everything. The antithesis, the exact opposite of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. If any man would be my disciple, my follower, let him deny himself instead of exalt himself. The reason for all the trouble we're seeing through mankind, manifest through mankind, the lawlessness that we're seeing, the hatefulness, the meanness, the murder, the rape, the war, the pillage. What we're seeing right now is the consequence of sowing the seeds of the exaltation of self. In fact, the Bible said in the last days, perilous, very dangerous times would come because men shall be lovers of their own selves. It's the opposite of crucifying the flesh, of loving God with all of our heart at the expense of loving self. Amen. Friend of mine, that doesn't mean you don't have a good self-image. I have a great self-image because I know I'm becoming more like Jesus every time I don't lift up Robert A. Venable. Every time I say, not my will but thine be done, I'm exalting my Master, my Lord, my Adonai. He's also my love, I might add. Praise God. So let's read what is being said about what happens when this kind of attitude gets into the church and even into many Christians who don't have the mind of Christ. What goes by the name of religion in the modern world is to a great extent unbridled human self-assertion in religious disguise, according to Henrik Kramer. I agree 150%. Of course, that's always been the case, though it's not always been pulled off with such candor. So it's no wonder that the Lordship of Jesus is not a high priority among many churchgoers today. In order to meet what's called their felt needs, people shop around for their so-called religious preference, and they wind up where they began, in their church of me, myself, and I, a tightly knit little Trinitarianism. But this peculiarly American religious preference, as sociologist Peter Berger notes, listen, contains within itself the whole crisis into which pluralism has plunged religion. In the elite stratus of American society today, we're witnessing what's being described as a shift, some would call it a paradigm shift, from a theology of transcendence to a theology of immanence, according to James R. Edwards. It's all about you, and it's all about me, or my group. It's a do-it-yourself religion. It's a fashionable religion, the religion of me. When the powers of this world went to strut their stuff, they picture themselves as, listen, ferocious beast, the UK is the lion, the power that they had gained through acquiring so much wealth in so many countries. Russia is the mauling bear. She's trying to maul Ukraine and any other nation she can take today would maul us if it wasn't for the fear of our military might. France is the terrifying tiger, and the U.S. is the eagle. A vulture of prey. What are your school mascots? They are at the Yale Bulldogs and the Princeton Tigers. They are not the Yale Poodles and the Princeton Pussycats. I like that. But the Scripture presents the Lord of Lords. What is the animal that represents Him? John turned toward the throne of in heaven and in order to see a lion of the tribe of Judah, but he saw no lion, and stood a little lamb. The sevenfold fullness of the Spirit of God. Who would ever have thought that the Lord of Lords, the Lord of all, would be depicted as a little lamb, not just a little lamb, but a lamb that had been slain? Where's the power in that? The greatest power of all was actually in that. The power of self-sacrificing love is in that. Jesus Christ is declared to be Lord because Jesus Christ is the Lamb that was slain. Though he thought it not robbery to be called equal with God, he humbled himself and took on himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, oh dear friend of mine, he became obedient even to the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. You see, Jesus, as far as a name, was a common name. when the angel said, name this immaculate conceived child Jesus, because it was a derivative of Joshua, a great hero, a great warrior in defense of Israel. Joshua, you can hear it in the name Yeshua, Jesus, and it means a savior, a deliverer, and truly he was. But what distinguished him other than this common name that many children were named? The full title and the full name is Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lord Adonai, God taking on flesh. God, second person of the Godhead, taking, oh, friend of mine, yes, it's a mystery. You know, the scripture says of this that's taking place. It said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That is a mystery to this very day. Amen. How can that be? When it actually goes on to say in Scripture, to wit, God was in Jesus Christ when he was on the cross, is the context. Reconciling the world unto himself. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Indeed, that a great potentate, a great ruler, someone of a great character and authority would choose to lay down his life for wretched, sinful people like us? That would be one thing. But a greater thing is, who am I that God would take on flesh in order to save you and me? That God would condescend, that God would come down in the person of Jesus Christ, that he would take on flesh like one of us, live a sinless life. He that knew no sin became sin, or as if he had sinned, even though on the cross he was not ever, ever condemned, convicted of any sin by God himself. He shed perfect, innocent blood on that cross. And that's why God accepted his blood sacrifice. That's why God exalted him, Jesus, and gave him a name that's above every name, his own name. Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. He is the Anointed One, the Messiah, Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord and Savior. He is not Savior, and then bicker with him and decide why, how much of your flesh you're going to put on the cross in order to follow him. Look for some church or some preacher that's going to give you heaven and every desire of your flesh here on earth in the process. No, that is not the gospel. That's not what it takes to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's not confessing his lordship. Praise God, friend of mine. Today we see movements within the church when the church becomes as carnal as the world. And it goes beyond riches. That's one manifestation of the flesh seeking fulfillment in things instead of the peace and the joy of salvation and the satisfaction and the fulfillment that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, friend of mine, how we need a revelation of the lordship of Jesus. You know, Jesus asked Peter, "Who do men say that I am?" Peter answered and said, "Some say you're Isaiah, some say you're this and you're that." And he looked at him. See, all of that was speculation, but he looked at him and wanted to know if he knew who Jesus really was. And he said, "But who do you say that I am?" And he looked to the fisherman, not any theologian, no background in theology or in the Old Covenant or in the prophecies concerning the Messiah. He said, "Who do you say that I am?" And without skipping a beat, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Hallelujah. And Jesus replied to him, "And thou art Peter." He said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father only." Hallelujah. And upon this rock, not Simon Peter. Thank God the church wasn't built on Peter. It was built on the revelation of Jesus Christ as Lord. Praise God. As the Messiah, as the Anointed One, thou art the Christ, and you are one with God because you are the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. Upon this rock, this revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not be able to prevail against it. Praise God. Today, as Christians, we publicly take our stand and we declare that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, and that He and He alone is the mediator between God and man. Jesus is our Adonai. Jesus is our Lord. And Jesus is our sovereign and Savior. Praise God. Amen. And today, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can come to know Him. I'm not asking you, amen, if you've been to church. I'm not asking you if you go to church. I'm not asking you if you're a member of a church. I'm not asking you what background you are. I'm asking you, is the Holy Spirit touching you right now? Is He dealing with you right now? Is He calling you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior? Is He speaking to your heart? Jesus said, "No man comes to the Father except by Me." No man comes to the Father except by Me. Now, I'm making an invitation, but Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling you. The question is, will you answer the call to salvation? Will you answer Christ's call, who says, "Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Take My yoke upon you. Learn of Me. Learn of Me. For I'm meek and lowly in spirit." I humble myself, you see. I came down. I condescended. I became human in My flesh. Take My yoke upon you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Me. Come unto me, and you will find rest for your soul. You'll find the peace of knowing I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I have been reconciled, therefore, unto God. And when Christ comes for His own, I bear His name. Hallelujah. I bear His name. And He knows mine. So don't run from Him deeper into the darkness of deception. Don't follow a false man-made God that a demon is impersonating. Come to the God who made man. Come to Adonai. Confess right now, Jesus is Lord. And Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Lord and Savior. And I bow to no other. Come. Come. Hallelujah. He will welcome you with open arms. He will save you, seal you with the Holy Spirit, and keep you safe from the wrath to come. So come in Jesus' name.